Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family, and welcome. This is Tim, the Overseer. Hopefully you all have had a blessed and wonderful week. I know that I have. I know that going through the week has been not really tiring too much, but a little bit. Let's just say it was a long week, but nonetheless, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that you are here. I'm praying for each and every one of you as believers, and we're praying for the non-believers that they receive salvation and that things are going good. We're praying for those that are affected by this pandemic. Don't forget to continue to pray for those who are affected by this pandemic that's going on in the world. Amen. So we know that something is out here. We know that evil is at work, as always. Amen. We know we're studying the book of Revelation, so we're going to go over just a portion of Revelation, the 13th chapter tonight, just a small portion, because what I really want to do was an interlude since we've completed, amen, half of the book of Revelation. We have made it through 12 chapters. We have 12 more chapters to go. I'm believing that we'll hopefully get it done before April of next year. We should be able to. I'm believing. I mostly just want to say that I'm definitely grateful for this day, my life, my soul, my health and strength. We know so many have went on home and so many have left this world due to this pandemic, this virus. We know that this pandemic has affected a lot of people financially. So as I've been stating in the past weeks, make sure that you're securing yourself. There's some incidences going on out here. Now, you know I'm not an advocate of guns or anything like that, but you know if that's what you feel you need to do, I don't knock it. For you, those of you that are believers and us that are believers, continue to pray. Amen. Just be careful during these holiday season. Make sure you warn your loved ones, especially the ladies, because we know the women mostly like to go out and do a lot of shopping. We know there's a lot of single moms out there. We'll be out shopping for the kids. We'll just be praying a hand of protection over them as they go and do their thing. Just make sure that we are lifting people up. I mean, praying for the world. Again, there's just some things that are happening out here. Amen. That, you know, just it just seems like the news is kind of having it quiet, not really saying much. And I understand they don't want to cause, you know, maybe a ruckus or whatever, but just make sure that we are praying for people and we're praying for the best for this world during this pandemic. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. Amen. That's one thing about the future. It doesn't matter who you are. None of us can know the future. Amen. But that's why we pray and believe, and we leave it to the Most High to lead us and guide us and protect us. Amen. We just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if this thing is going to become a permanent fix in our lives. And what I mean by that, I hope and pray and believe the day that we have to wear a mask and all that goes away and all this social distancing go away. You know, there are claims about a cure. Again, just continue to pray about these things because, you know, even though if they say they have a cure, they may try to make this thing, you know, part of our lives. Hopefully it won't become. But I know that we've been believing as believers that we are waiting for Christ to return. You know, due to the things either prior to this, the events in the past 20, 30 some years, amen, we just kind of feel that being in this next 2,000 years from Christ, that maybe this 2,000 years would be the time frame that he would come back. When? We don't know. Amen. I didn't think it would be within our lifetime that we would see certain things, but we see so many things that are progressive in the world. Like I say, working for a financial institution, I can clearly see money is going to be gone here soon. There won't be any more cash or coins. There won't be any need for it. Look at all the apps and applications, online banking. I know our bank is really, really pushing for online banking. They're pushing for it so bad and so hard that the elderly customers are just left out, and I feel bad for them. Like, if you're a certain age, the bank doesn't seem to care. They don't seem to cater to our mature and aged customers anymore. The days of writing checks and coming into the bank, you know, things are going to be different. Things are going to be at a distance, like they say, social distancing. Everything will be at a distance. You'll be banking at a distance. There probably won't be no need for us soon. So these are the things that we foresee coming into the world today. So we are praying for each and every one of you. I know that I am. I love each and every one of you. And one thing I did want to say, if you're listening, make sure that you guys are telling people that if they do have bank accounts, if you have overdraft fees or anything like that, or fees in your account, you've been affected by this pandemic, please call the bank. The bank will waive those fees. Go back as far as you can to the beginning of the pandemic and say, hey, I've been in hardship. Not only if you've been in hardship, we pray, we hope that you be honest. But yeah, if you've been hit by this pandemic, the bank will take care of those fees for you. Okay, just let them know, hey, I've been hit financially. If that's the case, hey, take care of these fees for me. Okay, so again, into more spiritual pressing matters. What I really want to do tonight, I'm going to touch on a little bit about the mark of the beast, kind of a recap, kind of like an interlude, if you will. We're going to try to make this an hour tonight. Amen. As we've covered the most majority part of the book of Revelation, actually half of it, but the main thing I want to cover was the church. That was the main thing that I want, because that deals with us, the right now and here and now, the church. And also the beginning, amen, mainly us. So we've passed that part now. So really no need, unless there's need to go on an hour. I might go on an hour, but in most cases going forward, we may only foresee an hour. Again, I know it's the holiday season. A lot of people can be actually out and about and shopping. I know my family and loved ones are gone most of the day. So I'm kind of left here alone because I don't like really being in stores a lot and shopping and doing all those things. So I'm kind of left here alone to watch TV and play video games. So I kind of get very bored being here at the house. I try to read some, but, you know, kind of get burnt out on that as well. But, hey, man, nonetheless, I'm grateful and thankful for my wife, my children, family, friends, and loved ones. We are praying for y'all. And I keep saying it because I really do mean that. Definitely before I read the scriptures of love, I also want to reach out and touch bases on salvation. I got to talk about salvation. Why? Because that's the main purpose. If salvation is your key to open the door, that's how you get into heaven. You cannot get into heaven unless you're saved. And so many people, amen, think that they're going to slip in or fall into heaven by mistake. That's not going to happen. You have to believe in your heart and know that you know after you believe that you're saved. And it's just that simple. Christ has done the work. He has done the hard part. He died for our sins. He went to the cross. Amen. He died for sinners and did not sin. Amen. Now, I'll tell you one thing is a hard pill to swallow is to be innocent and to be blamed. That's tough. Amen. I've been there before. You've been blamed for something that you didn't do. Amen. And so he was blamed for nothing. Amen. He was, you know, they hated him and they crucified him. Amen. And bear false witness against him. But they're going to pay for that. And so I just want you all to get saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If you want to become saved, salvation is free. Salvation is for any man or woman or child that wants to become saved and wants to go to heaven one day to live for all eternity with thy heavenly Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit and all his holy angels, the heavenly host. So again, it's coming from Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. Now, if you just take that one scripture and just take it, amen, just read it, break it down, that's it. Clean, straight to the point, precise, no second guess, no second thoughts, no doubts. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Yahshua, shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I've been saved 20 years, and I am a firm believer. A firm believer in faith. I'm a firm believer in Christ. He died for our sins. For 20 years ago, amen, I was blessed and fortunate in 2000 to become saved, and my life has changed and has continued to grow and has continued to change and mature spiritually as well as naturally. Amen. You don't know what you're missing out on. Amen. When you act as if salvation is not what you want. Satan has beautified this world. He's had thousands of years to do it to get to this point that it's like in the last probably, I know since I was young, you know, just how things are. Satan wants to make things difficult. You know, we were raised and taught that salvation was something that you earn. Amen. And that's not the case. Salvation is not earned. Salvation, amen, is received. It is a gift. That's why it's called a gift. You know, he gives it to you freely by simply accepting him. If you accept him, he accepts you. So I'm grateful for my salvation. I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for you all as the church. Thank you for your believing. Thank you for your faith. We're praying for more salvation and deliverance, especially towards our younger people. Amen. We definitely need it when we were young. They definitely need it before we came who were younger. And look at our kids now. Amen. We need salvation for the church. We need salvation for, amen, the lost. Amen. So that's why, you know, we talk about salvation. But, amen, let's go ahead and move on. But I just want to share that scripture, Romans 10, chapter, verse 9. Amen. And 10, that's the plan of salvation. So let's go ahead and read the scriptures of love. We're going to just kind of do a recap of just on the previous chapters, just a little bit. And I just want to kind of just give some thought to Revelation, the book of Revelation, the beast. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the beast tonight, just a little bit. So let's go ahead and read the scriptures of love. Let's see what Paul wrote. Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Amen. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seek it not our own. Is not easily provoked. Amen. We think it's no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth not in the but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you. Heavenly Father, for your love, we thank you for your salvation that you've given to us, mankind. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for finding us and blessing us and keeping us, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying right now, Heavenly Father, that you deliver our loved ones, our family members, our friends, dear Heavenly Father, and even our enemies, Heavenly Father, because we wish hell nor the lake of fire on anyone, dear Heavenly Father, not even our worst enemy. We just bless and praise your holy name, Heavenly Father, because we know that you're more than worthy. We just come praying this afternoon for the youth that are affected in our lives. And we continue to pray for them and deliver them to Heavenly Father. Amen. And we thank you for continuing to deliver us the treasure. We thank you for the many blessings, Heavenly Father. Bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and take a look. Just a thought on Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're talking about the beast. Amen. And there's also a reference to the book of Daniel. I remember about the beast. You know, Daniel was the first one to speak about the power of the Antichrist and the Antichrist over in his book in the Old Testament. This was a prophecy that was prophesied many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact. Even before the time of Christ, Daniel was told about the end time, what was going to happen during the end. And that was coming from the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, and also in the very end of the last chapter of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, 4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end of time, until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You know, I wonder if Daniel marveled at that saying, if Daniel had any idea what that meant. We know now at this day and time, amen, what that means. Because, wow, we are in this day and time. Me and one of my friends, lifelong friends, was talking about, the technology and how a possibility, you know, they won't need us on jobs as teachers and stuff like that. And it just makes you wonder what's going to happen in the future. How will people be paid? Now, when we say that they won't need us, will we have a role? Will they totally eliminate us? Are we going back to a rich, poor society? That was part of our conversation. And he also had mentioned, as we had talked about some years ago in Dallas, they've been talking about this flying car that they're going to introduce pretty soon. And that's going to be pretty bizarre because you know how things are. You know how the car, a little over 100 years ago, maybe it was 150 to 200 years ago now. I'm not for certain how long ago it was. Maybe not that long because I believe they said Ford, they claimed Ford was the one that invented the car. You know, we don't believe that because we know that during that time that the people who ran the world back then, and this country had no need for a car. They had no use. And they said that a slave was the one that developed the engine. Amen. He was actually trying to make it easier for them to plow the field. So he actually built an engine, something that was engineered to plow the field. Amen. So anyway, long story short, the main point I'm making is with technology and how far technology has come with electricity, with electronics. This stuff is amazing. I know some of the things that we do at the bank amazes some of our customers sometimes, how fast they can get things, how they can get notifications, how we can message them. And as I was saying before, we know, amen, that scripture, Daniel 12 and 4, is, I mean, you know, I don't know how to say it, but that scripture it stands out when you read it. Knowledge shall be increased. And you look at 500 years ago, people wasn't using electronic devices 500 years ago. So what I'm saying to you is these electronic devices, they are being utilized, you know, and they keep, it's like when they always say when they bring out a cell phone, within a short period of time, that cell phone is obsolete. I remember they told us that many years ago when I used to work for AT&T. They told us that. They said, yeah, when you bring out a cell phone, 3 to 6 months is obsolete. I'm like, wait a minute. Just paid $500 for this phone. You know, this was like almost 15 years ago. And you didn't tell me this phone is obsolete. Now phones are costing a ridiculous amount of money. They're over $1,200 now for a brand new phone if you was to buy outright. And again, we see these types of things in this world that we live in, amen, that with technology and how computers are running faster. And the funny thing about technology, amen, is that what they're showing us is what is not the best that they got. We know that. In fact, I remember this one guy actually told me, I don't know how true this is, but he said 4K technology with the TV, how we can see 4K. He said that technology is actually very old. They had that back in the 60s when they used to film. They had cameras that could, I guess, record or something like that in 4K, or that they can record and show in 4K. Now, I don't know how true that is. Now, he said that. But, you know, a lot of times when people tell you things, you know how that is. The point I'm making is that we know that they're hiding technology from us. The governments of the world are hiding the best technology, whether it's ancient technology or whether it's something that's new. Amen. Because, you know, the Bible says nothing new under the sun, pretty much. And we know that the fallen angels, when some of them came down, they gave man what? Technology. We know this to be a fact. You know, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge the book of Enoch. If you read the book of Enoch, which I do have, you actually see that there are some things that are pretty, that it just raises a lot of questions. And it raises a lot of questions as to why did they remove that book out of the Bible, okay? So, again, we're just kind of doing a little interlude this week, amen, not really getting into Revelation, the 13th chapter too much, but just kind of recalling Revelation and how he called John to write letters to the church. And basically, he was telling John to inform the church to get ready for my return. And that's what I really want to focus on, is the return of Christ, because that's what I've been saying in this interlude. I want to talk about is how, you know, are you prepared? Are you ready to go back? Have you kind of gotten a little lax a days ago? Because some people actually went back to work, and some people just kind of, you know, old things a little bit back to normal. You know, whereas when all this stuff first started out, people was not really for certain. But you know, we don't want to make light of this. You know, what's going on is we know that this pandemic is real. Obviously, something is going on. We just don't know what, okay? So make sure that you're protecting yourselves. Make sure you're watching, because that's what Christ says, what Paul said. He was iterating what the Messiah was saying. Watch. We are to watch. We are to watch for Christ. Don't get relaxed. Don't get back in so much into your football games and your daily shows and your season shows. Make no mistake about it. Christ is coming back to get us as the church. We need to continue to teach that, because as we see in this world that the church is really falling away, I see so many signs of a universal world, because that's what they're trying to do with this technology. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, we're unified. Never before have we been able to communicate with people around on the other side of the planet unless you actually already knew them. Now you can communicate with people that you never know, these devices that we have with the internet. Okay. And who knows, maybe the internet is not new technology like they say. Maybe it's ancient technology. The point that I'm making is that, as the book of Daniel said in Daniel 12:4, as I just read, knowledge what? Shall increase. Many shall run to and fro. And when you look that saying up, many shall run to and fro, it says basically what it means is many shall travel. We see at this day and time, you know, it used to be a time only a few could travel. You know, only a few people can get on boats and travel across the sea. In the early stages of the airplane flight, only, you know, a handful of people was flying. Because in fact, man was actually using blimps. As at one point, I thought that was pretty amazing. I said, you know what? I actually kind of forgot about the blimp. Forgot about the blimp, how people used to air up this big balloon, and people used to actually travel on those things. So I'm quite sure people are, the, you know, now with airplanes and trains and, you know, people are just able to just move so swiftly, so fast, okay, with these different types of technology. So we know, based on the prophecy of Daniel, where we are. We are very close. Make no mistake about it. You know, don't fall asleep, okay? So remember, we've been saying all this time, we are shaking and waking up the church. Don't fall asleep. Don't go back to sleep on us, okay? You get ready for the return of Christ, and you get your loved ones ready, because so many people, you know, are affected by what's going on in this world. Some people's lives went back to normal for some. Others, it has not, okay? We don't know what their plan is. We know that there's a diabolical hand at play. We know that the talk of the 666, the number of the beast, this is the number of the Antichrist, right? So you have to think about that. Now, understand this as the church, as believers. We believe that we will be caught up. We will not be here, as Paul said. We will be caught up to heaven when Christ calls us home. He's going to call the dead in Christ home. And then those of us who are alive and remain, if he wants to come back at this instant, we will be caught up and called to heaven as well. Amen. And so the mark of the beast, the 666, won't even take place until after we are gone. So I tell so many people, especially the church, the saints, hey, you don't have to worry about being here. No need to fret. And, you know, there are some that do preach that we will be here. I don't debate it. I don't necessarily agree with it because of the language of the Bible, especially after what Paul said, which I shared with you some time ago. I may cover it again tonight. Just the language of the Bible doesn't speak to the church being here, okay? After Revelation, the third chapter, I believe it is, you don't hear anything else about the church in Revelation. The church is not even mentioned, so the church won't even be here. So for those who believe that the church will be here, remember over in the book of Daniel where Daniel had written that Michael the archangel will stand up during that time. Now, I believe he's really referring to the remnant, which is the Jews during that time in Revelation, not the church age saints. The church age is going to end when Christ comes back to get the church. We are in the church age now. So I don't believe that we're going to be here. Amen. All glory to the Most High, because as I've told you before, you cannot prepare for the things that's coming. Amen. People buying up bullets and guns and stocking up on food and tissue and water. And that's fine. I'm not knocking nobody. I'm not saying not to do certain things. Okay. Don't get me wrong. If you feel like in your hearts of heart that that's what you need to do, then you do so. Again, I don't advocate violence. I don't advocate any type of weapons. So I'm not going to tell you to go stack up on bullets and guns, but if you want to stack up on water and tissue and food, have at it. Amen. I understand. But as a child of the Most High, I believe that the church will be called home, and we will not be here to endure the suffering that's going to yet come during the age of tribulation, those 7 years, amen. And we know the latter half of those 3.5 years of the seven is known as the Great Tribulation, amen. It's going to be progressive, which means, man, when you get to that last 3.5 years, man, people probably going to definitely wish they were never born, amen, never wish they had even existed. I can't imagine such a thing, amen. So I thank the Most High for His grace and His mercy. Amen. I definitely don't want to experience anything like that. Amen. As a child of the Most High, we won't be here, because we talk about how food will be scarce. We talk about how the grass and the trees would be burnt up a certain amount. We see witness to some of these things throughout time. We look back at history. Man has starved. The world's been disease riddled at some point. War, many wars. You know, we had the last war, and it was World War II. I just recently found out some months ago, I think it was back in the summer, that millions of people had lost a lot. I didn't know that many people actually died. No, I'm like, is that even possible? That we have a war so bad that millions of people are losing their lives in the war? That is a lot of people. That is incredible. Couldn't imagine trying to bury those, but that is a lot of people. Within even a year, to lose a lot of people amen, due to one's, and then and even in famine, I even found out, you know, doing a little research for my Revelation study, that even famine, millions of people in history had died from famine. I'm like, this is really truly incredible. I'm like, you know, now certain things, you know, they taught you in school in history, but maybe I was paying attention, maybe I wasn't, but I can't ever recall them ever mentioning that. They talked about starvation, how some people died, and even the wars. And I know they always do talk about the Holocaust, you know, and I think it was World War II, how millions of people, they claim like 4 to 6 million people died during that Holocaust. But my gosh, can you imagine in the millions, you know, more than that? I'm talking about higher numbers. That's a lot of people, 14 million people to starve. That's amazing. So we live in a country of abundance. And you think about slavery, there was well over 4 to 6 million people died during that time here in America. So we are definitely in the end times. We cannot ignore that we are in the latter days leading up. Amen. As I told people, we're no longer knocking on the door. I believe that we are inside the new world order. Amen. And I've seen certain little implements of a one world unified church, one world unified government. Amen. You better watch for it. So main thing for us as saints is that we see salvation. Amen. So that's what we want from, amen, that's what we want from our listeners. Amen. We're definitely definitely praying for everyone. Amen. Excuse me. Someone keeps messaging me. Amen. So we are definitely, amen, definitely grateful for our salvation, our life, and hope that he has given us. So, you know, Daniel had a vision. John had a vision. And so these visions and Revelation 13 chapter were very, very similar. So let's just take a look, okay? And I may refer back to the book of Daniel. I may not. I may just wait till next week to do so. But I just want to read a few scriptures of Daniel, amen, the 13th chapter, verses 2, 1 and 2. Okay? It says, verse 1, Revelation 13 and 1, says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Amen. This is a vision that John saw. Also, that was similar to the vision, amen, that Daniel saw. So let me read verse 2. It says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority." So, amen, we see that Satan, who is the dragon, which we reference that, we know that from Revelation the 12th chapter, gives great authority to who? The Antichrist. Amen. And so, amen, we know from verse 3 on down what's going to happen. We're not going to get into it now, but we will definitely deal with that on next week and going forward as we teach Revelation the 13th chapter. And so I just want to take a look at these similarities, amen. We know that there's these things are symbolic because, you know, according to what Daniel and John described as far as this beast, amen, I don't recall ever seeing anything, amen, in reference to what the scripture is saying when it says, "And upon his horns, 10 crowns." Amen. And so it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear." So we know that's symbolic. Amen. We'll get into what that is next week. We'll break it down. And so I just want to just kind of compare the two scriptures, Revelation. And I'm going to go ahead and go back to the book of Daniel. And so we know that this is symbolic. Why? Because to see an animal or a creature with mixed features like that would really freak us out this day and time. I think we kind of was to see something like that. Like, what in the world is that? Like, we think, what has scientists done, right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. What has scientists done to make, amen, something like a leopard with feet like a bear? So we used to see something like that that would really, really make us uneasy. So let's go over to Daniel, the 7th chapter. Make a bookmark real quick. Daniel 7. Book of Daniel. Amen. There we go. Book of Daniel. 7th chapter. Amen. And we'll look at verse 3. It says, and 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another, meaning that they were differing. They wasn't exactly the same. They were different. Okay. And then it said, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Amen. So you look at these two references, amen, in scriptures about the description. And they, once again, we know that this is symbolic. Again, we'll get into what they mean next week. And so when we think about this, think about the power and authority that who the Antichrist is going to have over the world, because we know that's the main point, is to rule the world. Amen. Now, why in the world would Lucifer want to be his own God and come down and rule the world and leave heaven? It was a question that probably never be answered. Amen. It was something that will always mystify me to the end of time, because I believe I'll be fine with just praising the Most High for all eternity instead of rebelling against the Most High and know that there's going to be an ultimate punishment in the end. I want no part of that. Amen. So thought I would point that out. So look, thinking about the mark of the beast, this 666 thing that that people talk about. And, you know, you have to be careful, because this is why you have to study to show thyself approved, meaning that you need to study the Bible on your own. Because so many people just listen to the teachers and preachers, even some false prophets I heard. Okay, because some people, you know, they it's like they use scare tactics to try to scare people. The mark of the beast is coming, or you're going to have to take a chip in your hand, or you're going to have to get a mark on your forehead or whatever. If you believe, remember I said, if you are saved and once you receive salvation, you won't have to deal with that. Amen. Such a blessing, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Amen. You know, early in my years of believing, especially before I went to school, amen, I thought we were going to be here. I'm like, man, it's like, you know, reading Revelation, it's like something that we don't want no part. I didn't want no part. I'm like, Lord, we have to go through that as your children, as your saints. We may starve. How are we going to feed our family? Because I know the Bible says if you take that mark, you are doomed. You will surely burn in the lake of fire for all eternity. I'm like, man, but that's going to be hard to go and not and say, hey, I love the Lord. Now, that's a real challenge. And say, well, I don't want to take that mark because I don't want to burn for all eternity. I don't want my family, my wife, and kids to have to be strong and set an example. I don't want them to burn for all eternity. So you know what? It's like that old saying, give me liberty or give me death. And so we can't. We can't just, you know, that's just something to think about. Okay? That's something to think about, because if we were pressed with having to be here and, you know, dealing with, you know, not having a job or a way to feed family and friends, I'm sorry, not family, to feed your wife and children, to feed your family, that's very tough, especially when you have little children. But as a man, you know, it doesn't matter what age they are, it's still pretty rough because, like, man, I can't support my family. I can't take care of my family. So it's like, well, what am I going to do? As I've given an example maybe about a month ago, I was unfortunate, amen, to be out of work. And so you see a lot of things in our lives is just like little small examples. Little light things compared to what's coming to, man, what is it going to be like? And we don't want to be here. I'm not saying that you want to be here. Amen. To find out what that's going to be about. So we're praying for those who are not saved, who have not received salvation. We are really, really praying for you. And like I said, I don't want nobody lost. And hopefully our listeners, the saints, don't want anyone lost, not even your worst enemy, because the lake of fire is, man, I mean, me and my wife was just talking about that just the other day. The lake of fire, you're going to have to burn for all eternity for your sins. So this little short period of time that you're going to spend on earth, which is usually, typically less than 100 years, amen, if you do reach those longevity, those years to where you don't have to work, your health is not going to be the same. Why? Because your body aged. Why? Because of sin. The Most High said that. He said, because man's heart is so wicked, he had to shorten the days of our lives. So we went from almost 1,000 years on the earth, amen, to kind of lost my train of thought there. Amen. So we think about this, and, you know, it's like, okay, where do you want to stand? Where do you want to be, amen, for all eternity? You know, do you want to be with the Almighty and His Son and all His angels for all eternity? Or is the lake of fire, amen, that's something that you really foresee? I used to have a family member who used to say, he didn't care about being lost and going to the lake of fire. He wanted to be rich and famous. But I said, man, you know, I hear what you're saying. Who wouldn't want to be rich and famous? Who wouldn't want to have a lot of money in this earth? You born into this world, and you don't know anything about God and Christ. You wouldn't raise right. Or I guess even if you were, you know, the thought is, who wouldn't want to live a comfortable life, longevity here? But, you know, sin, things bring about sin. And that's why our lives have been shortened. You know, man, back in ancient times, used to live almost 1,000 years, live 100 years. But the Most High got so tired of them, just all they did was wicked. All they did was sin. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have no time for the Most High. He put you here. You don't want to acknowledge Him. You don't want to praise Him. You don't want to worship Him. All you want to do is what you want to do. He couldn't tolerate that. So he said, you know, man, time will be shortened to 120-something years. So that's all you get now. And again, as I was saying earlier, as time progresses, what happens? You get older. Okay, so if you live to be 80, you can't run like you could when you were 20, and you're not gonna look the same either. So, you know, though you may have, you may be well retired, when you reach 70, 80, 70 years old, your body's not the same. You know, I talk to my customers and say, hey, I can't hear like I used to. I can't see like I used to. They got to put on their glasses and, you know, they put on their hearing aid. The life changes. The mind is not the same. So you have to be more patient with them. And the point that I'm making is that, you know, we have to make up our minds, where do we want to spend all eternity? Because people have sold their souls. And even though some of them have lived long lives of being wealthy and rich on this planet, in this world, on this earth, as the Bible says, what profit a man that gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what are they going to gain out of all that? Okay? What do they hope to gain? You know, you're not going to gain much or win much out of this life. And you have to compare, you know, most people may make it to 70. You know, I promise, I think it's 73 or 76 years. You may make it to that. But what's the promise that you are? Most of us don't make it that old. Some people don't even make it to 40 and 50 years old at this day and time. So if you sell your soul, if you don't, you don't even have to sell your soul. If you don't come to Christ, you'll spend all eternity in the lake of fire. I don't like to judge people. I don't get into it. I do the much I can to stay away from it. But I do have to judge what the Bible says, meaning that, or I do have to speak what the Bible says. I'm sorry. I have to tell you what it says. And so the Bible says it plain and clear. A lot of people like to say, as a minister and a pastor, oh, we don't love. No, we love everybody. We don't want nobody to be lost. But at the same time, okay, if you choose to live an evil, sinful life and ignore God, ignore his son, guess what's going to happen? Amen. Punishment for all eternity. I don't want no part of no punishment for all eternity. You shouldn't want it either. Amen. So, but we thank him for his grace and his mercy. And you just can't rebel against the Most High. You can't just ignore him. And so that's what happened to Lucifer. You know, you're not going to get around that. You know, it's coming. You know, if you rebel, if you have a reprobate mind, though we talked about that last week, and you choose, amen, not salvation, you choose not to follow Christ, you choose not salvation, it's not going to be good. So, again, we're praying for you. Amen. Time is kind of winding. Still got a little bit more time left. Amen. So, just want to share this interlude with you today. Amen. And just talk about this kind of, this is more like a freestyle. Amen. It is. And we talked about the church, how the church is going home. We want you to be gathered together, whether you be alive and remain, or if you be passed on in your grave. He said, I'm going to promise you, amen, eternal life. I'm looking forward to my promise. Amen. So just like a lot of people looking forward to whatever they want, whatever they're supposed to be getting for Christmas, whether it be a house, a car, a diamond ring, or whatever big thing you've been promised. You know, maybe some people getting a video game console, games, clothes, whatever it is that you're getting this holiday season. Amen. So just remember, you know, whatever it is that you desire, salvation should be at the forefront. Amen. So, amen. So I'm grateful for you all listening. Amen. I thought it's been a long week. Amen. I'm actually kind of tired, so I'm kind of phasing in and out. Amen. It's been a long week. Amen. So it's kind of hard to say that. It's tiring, but not tiring, but a little bit. It's been a week, so, but I'm grateful for it. Amen. So we have to be grateful for the good as well as the bad. Amen. You'd be surprised, man. Amen. Family can wear you out. Family can wear a man out. But it's a blessing to have a family, you know, to have kids and grandkids. And so they keep you on the go. But, amen, it is the holiday season. We're praying for you all. Make sure that you stay safe. Make sure that you are practicing social distancing, wearing your mask out in public. It's funny because, amen, some people still don't want to wear those masks out in public. And so, amen, I don't knock them, to each his own. But, amen, like I said, we don't really know what this thing is. Amen. I know that a few weeks ago, I wasn't feeling well. Amen. Dealing with some things that I had never dealt with before. So, and some of the things were very similar to what I had dealt with before. It was just the longevity, amen, of it that made me wonder. Amen. So, it doesn't really matter now because it's all behind me. I thank the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and the Most High, and the Son, Christ, for healing my body, amen, and making me be where I need to be. Well, saints, we're definitely praying for each and every one of you all. We love you. Again, make sure you're doing what you need to and what you're supposed to. Hey, the elderly people, they got it down. Excuse me, amen. A lot of them are saying, amen, hey, they're not playing with this thing. They are definitely on board with taking care of themselves, taking care of their bodies. Staying at home, staying out of the way. That's another thing. If you don't have to be out, amen, I'm not a doctor, anyone I don't profess to be. If you don't have to be out, I highly advise, try not to be out. Stay at home with your loved ones. Get you something to eat and watch TV and movies. This is quiet time. Read your Bible. Spend time with the Most High. This is an opportunity, like I tell you. The devil meant for bad, but, you know, there's always good in it because the Most High, amen, has his hand in everything and rules everything. So, again, just make sure that we are praying. Make sure that we are just practicing. When you practice, keep your hands washed and clean, your body clean. Hand sanitizer, whatever, you know, whatever you need to do. I see some people go to the bathroom, still today won't wash their hands when they come out. Still see people or just hand sanitizer. They won't wash their hand with hot or warm soap and water. They just sanitize their hands and go on. I'm just like, man, hey man, I'm not saying hand sanitizer is not good and don't work. I just don't trust it by itself. Hey man, I gotta throw some soap and water, a little traditional. Put some soap and water on me, amen. So, amen. Again, family, I love you. I'm about to conclude here in a little bit. But don't fret for us as a church, amen, about the things to come. I know that if you have been affected by this pandemic financially, amen, I'm not telling you not to, amen. I'm not telling you to ignore it, amen, because we know that it's serious. More for some than others, amen, because there's some people who have been blessed and fortunate that things are just going on the same, and there's a lot of people who have not, amen. This is amazing how many people have lost jobs, or amen, but we're praying for them, we're praying for you and family to make sure that you say a word to them, amen, those who have been affected mentally, physically, and their health, medically, you know, have the way, and financially, have the way people have been affected by this pandemic. Make sure that we are praying for each and every one of you. Amen. So, amen. Family, I think I'm going to go ahead and shut it down early. Amen. I'm going to go to bed early, give me some sleep. Amen. So, it's been good. I told myself that I wasn't going to skip this week. Amen. It's been a long week. I've been very tired and weary. I've actually been doing a little bit of working out as well, so that's probably what's been kind of contributing to me kind of being tired because, hey man, it's cold down here in Texas now. Usually it's warm and hot, but it's been cold here lately. We've been dipping in the 20s and the 30s here, and so I have to do something to try to keep my body active because I sit down all day working, so I have to do something to try to keep my body moving and my mind moving. So, hey man, nonetheless, be praying for me, family. I'm definitely praying for you. And you just don't know, I love each and every one of you so much. Amen. I care for you. I do. I love you. I just want you to receive salvation. Amen. I don't want to see nobody lost. As many people as we can, we know that there have been people that have been lost. There's probably still going to be some people who are going to hear the message and ignore it. Amen. So, family, without further ado, amen. Man, hey, go ahead and get him a nap. That's what I feel like I need to do is get me a nap. So, amen. So, anyway, we'll be back on the air next week. We'll touch on Revelation, the 13th chapter. I'm not going to say we're going to finish it, knock out the whole chapter. We're going to try. Probably get through half of it because Revelation, the 13th chapter, actually has 18 verses. So, amen. We're going to be talking about the first Antichrist. Amen. Okay, so this is mainly about the Antichrist. I guess what I'm saying is that there's kind of like a dual thing here with Revelation and talking about the Antichrist, Revelation 13, because it refers kind of back to, you know, you have to take Daniel's vision into account along with John's vision. So, amen. We're going to get into that next week. Family, I love you. I'm going to go ahead and shut it down. Give me some rest. Go ahead and enjoy my family. Probably going to fall asleep, you know, probably. I guess watching a movie, probably going to be asleep. So I'm praying for each and every one of you, family. Remember, family, I love each and every one of you deeply. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm praying for you, family. Remember that you're royalty. I am royalty, family. And we are blessed by the best, and we serve the best, the Most High. I hope to see you in the eternities. Amen. Family, you be blessed, and I love you. You all have a wonderful night and a good weekend. Make sure you all take care and stay safe. Love you.